Hello, friends. We're here again. This is We Have Thoughts. My name is Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
And today is our last Best Picture for 2016. And we are covering Spotlight. Spotlight was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Tom McCarthy, Best Supporting Actor, Mark Ruffalo, Best Supporting Actress, Rachel McAdams, Best Original Screenplay by Tom McCarthy, and Josh Singer, Best Film Editing. 6 nominations total and 2 wins. So this is Spotlight. I feel like that's how they do it in the Oscars.
And this is Spotlight.
I could totally do that.
You totally could.
So this was a rewatch for you two, right?
Mm-hmm.
First time for me. I just watched it like 20 minutes ago, so I'm still shattered. This movie was great, but not in the way that you would think. It's very intense. It's like the second movie this year that has like shooketh me to my very interior.
It has the same feeling as All the President's Men.
Oh my god, that's one of my notes!
Not only is it the Boston Globe, again.
Yeah.
But it's got the same, like, setting and pace and...
Yeah,
it felt very similar. Even, like, the shots that they did. Even the set, I think, it just looked really similar. Because it didn't look like it had aged much since, you know, the 60s or whatever.
That Tom McCarthy was very... you could tell he was inspired by that movie.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. You could definitely see the influence there. It was interesting. Seeing that it won Best Screenplay, I think that may be a fair...
All right.
Because it was Best... it didn't!
It won. Best Original Screenplay. It beat out Bridge of Spies.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Inside Out, Ex Machina, and Straight Outta Compton.
Just kidding. I was thinking it was an adapted screenplay.
Oh, it's an original.
No. Okay. Then it's a 3-way tie, so never mind.
that's a stacked category.
It is.
Yeah.
And having seen
all of these. Oh my god, I've never seen. Yeah, oh my god. Well, me too.
I've seen the whole category. How cool.
Ooh. Hey, who should win?
Say that again?
Who should have won?
I really liked Inside Out.
Wow.
But Straight Outta Compton, though, was so great.
I could argue for all of these except Bridge of Spies. Because they're all very good and very unique.
Ooh, that's hard. That's really hard.
They're very strong stories.
I mean, Spotlight is cool, but I wouldn't have picked it.
But it's fair. It
deserves
category.
To be there,
It's a tough category.
According to the website Information is Beautiful, this movie is 76.2% true.
Oh,
that was very interesting.
That's cool.
It is beautiful.
It really is, yes. It's interesting because I feel like telling a story like this is really hard. And so I think approaching it from the reporter's angle is really smart because it gives people information what they need to know, but also because it feels more like a reporter movie rather than like a scandal movie. But I think that was the point. I think that was to bring you this information in this way that's easy to digest, I guess. It doesn't feel so like abrasive at first.
Right. At first. Yeah, it definitely builds on that though.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not seeing the claims.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not seeing what actually happened.
You see enough, though, to be horrified.
I think the acting was really interesting because I feel like all the people that played the survivors, even though they had maybe like 10 seconds of screen time or maybe just a couple of lines, it really felt honest and it really felt vulnerable. Like every little vignette you get of these people feels like legit.
I know one of them is an actual survivor of this.
Oh,
and
wow.
Steve Schreiber and his brother. They were members of SNAP.
Mm.
Wow.
So it doesn't... It's not far,
too far from the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm everywhere. I don't know. Okay, so one of his nominations was for Best Supporting Actress for Rachel McAdams. I don't know that I think she deserved that.
I don't
think
she... I
feel like she was just doing herself. Like, she seems like a... Rachel McAdams is, like, a nice person, like, a very caring person, and she wasn't really doing any acting?
I feel like she did a lot of those, like, mouth things. Like, her mouth did a thing, and she kind of, like, focused her eyes. But I don't think it's fair to put her in this category, because, like, I feel like supporting actors, you have to really, like, you're supporting the whole cast and you're adding something to the story, but I don't know.
I agree.
I feel like she was a fair player in the game, but I don't think she was necessarily, like, a standout in it.
Plus, this movie really wasn't an actor's movie anyway. It was like, here's the story. It's a story movie.
Yeah.
So, like, her getting nomination to me was really weird. I always thought, like, why is she here?
What?
Like, Mark Ruffalo, I guess I can understand, especially for that one scene where he's, like, screaming at Michael Keaton, like, I'm fed up with this, blah, 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 like, that in the... That's probably the only time I was like, oh, okay, I see.
Even the ones, his conversations with Stanley Tucci were really good.
Stanley Tucci.
Him and Stanley Tucci were working off of each other really well. Yeah. And Mark Ruffalo, I'm like, okay, that's fair. To be honest, I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I'm going to fuck this up. Liev Schreiber.
Yeah,
I actually thought he did better. Because that's very something that he doesn't normally do, at least not that I've seen him do. And I think it was more of like a, I don't know, I think he did a better job. I think it was like a quiet performance, but it still had like a presence there, especially because you didn't see him for a lot of the movie.
Yeah. I think Mark Ruffalo, and I do love him, but I feel like he got that nomination mainly because he got nominated the year prior.
Okay,
yeah, for Foxcatcher. So, like, he's already on the radar. Like, they like him. They're like, oh, he did basically good. We'll give him a nomination. That's what it felt like to me.
I think Mark Ruffalo is a fantastic actor. I really appreciate his work.
Yeah.
But I also feel like he falls into that category of he kind of plays the same type of characters where they're all a little kooky.
Yeah.
They have a little...
A little edge.
Intricacies?
Well, you mean like eccentric, kind of?
Yeah, like they all have their little things.
They have quirks.
They're quirks.
Quirks is a good word. I'm thinking of that one movie he did about him being bipolar, polar bear.
Oh yeah, in Blizzard in a no wait. Something
that he did fantastic.
Polar bear and a blizzard, right?
Sorry. Infinite polar bear.
Yeah, well, I was completely wrong. Infinite polar bear. Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I mean, neither, but I've heard.
I'm sure he would be great in that.
He's a great performance. And
you're right. Consistently good, but it is the same.
Yeah, he always plays like a tortured character or a. Like, he does it very well. I'm not docking for it, but I just think he's one of those that you can say he's playing. Another one of these characters.
Right. He's very consistent, but it's not always, you know, interesting.
He's also in one of my favorite movies called, Oh, Fuck.
That's the movie?
Reese Witherspoon. Just like Kevin.
Oh my gosh, shut up. I love that cheesy movie.
Isn't he in 13 Going on 30?
Yes, his best film role ever.
Hello.
Yeah.
His best.
He's great. This whole cast definitely is great. Shout out to my Broadway love, Brian D'Arcy James. He was the guy with the mustache.
Good mustache.
He's one of the first Broadway male voices I fell in love with. He's got... it's beautiful. I can't get enough of him. He was in the original cast of Something Rotten, which we saw the tour of. He's just one of my favorite actors, and I love when my Broadway people get to be in movies, especially Oscar-nominated, Oscar-winning movies.
Yeah, I really like that. I didn't know that before because he fit in really seamlessly. Like, everyone was, like, on the same level, and, you know, he didn't do, like, sometimes Broadway people do very Broadway things, and it makes them stand out, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes Broadway people are meant for Broadway and film people are meant for film.
That's
and
fair.
They, just like a film person can't really carry a Broadway thing sometimes. The Broadway people sometimes can't blend into film sometimes. Just in general.
No, that's fair.
That you can't see my face, but I'm giving Joy a look.
She oh my is. God. But I think he did really a really good job in that, and that it was just like nuanced and good, and everybody was solid. All the acting was solid.
It wasn't too much of a stick out for any of them, but they you're right. They blended together really well. That's a great way.
Yeah, it really felt like a team. Like these guys have been working together for
years.
You
could, that's
there was a camaraderie there, and everyone like there was a level of respect for their boss. You know, it felt fair.
I kind of wish they would have gone more into more into how this affects people. Who are not like who have gone to the church and maybe like not directly affected, but like they're part of a church still, and they find out that their minister, preacher, whatever, is convicted of this. I would like to Rachel McAdams's grandmother, right?
Oh yeah.
I feel like she was in the movie for that purpose, but they never utilized her correctly. I feel like they see her reading the article and she's upset, but like I wish I would have gone just a little bit more into that, more of like, because I mean, from what I take of it, she probably still is going to church. Because out of sight, out of mind type of thing. She reads it. It's sad, but that's it. Or because when Mark Ruffalo says to her, like, something in the and it broke me, and I can't anymore. And Rachel McAdams like, yeah, I can't go to church with my grandma anymore because it's too. I just recant all those stories that I hear, and I wish I would have gone more into that just a little bit. How it affects the people outside of the actual church, you know?
Slight firsthand experience. It sucks. Yeah. The parish I grew up in, born and raised Catholic, and the church I grew up in, we had one of our priests, he was one of the bad eggs, and he was the one who, I think, baptized my brother.
Oh my God.
And it's a big reason why a few members of my family have left the church. They're so, like they said, they still consider themselves Catholic.
Right.
Yeah.
Like for funerals or big events, they still think the Catholic way is right. But they don't go to church anymore because it's hard.
Yeah, I wish I would have gone into like what the church means to people and what you're asking them to give up, you know, by acknowledging that these things happen. You know, just a little bit more into that would have been interesting.
I think it was really the reason why the script is stronger, because it doesn't just like as they're doing their reporting, they're finding out it's more than one person, it's more than 13 people, it's 87 people that are doing all these horrible things to these kids. And I think it's really important that I don't remember his name, Baron, I think, that he was like, you can't just get these guys. Like, it's a whole system. It's a whole problem. A lot of the time, people do just look the other way because it happens once and you don't really talk about it anymore or whatever. But, like, he's talking about the system as a whole is broken and is toxic. And you can't let them shove it under the rug anymore.
Yeah, it's a systemic problem. And it's something that nobody likes to talk about, that nobody wants to talk about. So if it happens in your parish, it's not like you're going to go around and be like, hey, did you hear what happened to our priest? Do you hear what's going on with our priest? And they're going to be like, oh yeah, that also happened to a priest at a church I went to and blah, 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 blah. Like, it's not something you want to compare notes to.
Right.
Too painful.
But I do think, and I looked into it a little bit and I didn't see much. I wanted to do a lot more research, but it's been a really busy week for me. There's just this huge gap where, and it was touched on a little bit by the guy on the phone, played by the voice of Richard Jenkins. He was saying, like, you know, over 50% of clergymen, of priests are not celibate, and they have the emotional age of a teenager. Because most men go into the monastery when they're young.
Right.
And then they're told, like, they take this vow of celibacy, but they still have, like, bodily hormones that do their own thing, it's this really hard line of like your body doing this natural thing and you not being mature enough to handle it on top of what you're vowing. So I've always, since I first knew about this issue, I'm like, why is this not part of the seminary? Why is this not an issue that's talked about openly with the priest? Like, you're going to have these urges and this is going to be a thing, and there needs to be a way for them to deal with it. Because in the old days when the church was king, basically, like, no one was going to say anything against the Pope or against the cardinals for fooling around because they were the rule.
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. So I think there needs to be a class or a forum where they can talk about this shit openly to where it doesn't turn into this.
Yeah. That's a very good suggestion.
And there might be something, I doubt it, that there's something across the board. Maybe certain dioceses have enacted certain things, but I don't think it's across the board yet. And the fact that fucking Cardinal Law got to go to Rome and be in some powerful fucking church, like, this is why people hate the Catholic Church. And it's because they had so much power in the beginning, and they were rulers. They made law. And then to go from that to not making law, like, it's just, there's so much fucking history there, and it's so steeped in bad, bad shit.
Yeah. The same way that we have to address other systemic problems is the same way you have to address this, because it's been centuries of this. So, like, right. It's not like a one fix for everything or for everyone. You know, it's a breakdown and a reconstruction.
Yeah. That's the only thing that'll really get fixed.
Mm-hmm. Which is hard to do with an institution that dates back to Christ.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It literally started the church. So.
Another part of the script that I liked is whenever Stanley Tucci's telling Mark Ruffalo, he's like, it really takes someone who's an outsider, someone that's not in this, because everyone's so, like, and also with how the movie frames it, like, everyone in Boston is so devoted to the Catholic Church because it's where, shut up, it's where, like, it's where they, like, do life, and it's been with them since birth, so, like, people are really difficult to, like, push back on something that you've known
and has
been, like, a staple for you for your entire life. And there's that like denial. There's those blinders on. There's be like, it's been so good to me, so why would it be bad to anybody else? The same way that, like, celebrities, I think, sometimes are like, oh, well, this person seem nice to me, so I don't know how they could do all these bad things. Like, to me, they're a good person. But, like, that's one point of view from someone who's at your level of privilege, that it just doesn't, it's not fair. You're not letting the truth speak out.
Right. Plus, I mean, ask me today, I wouldn't say I'm a Catholic. I'm not really religious. I would say I don't really have a firm belief system, other than doing good and being kind. But if I were to go back to the church, it would probably be the Catholic Church. Because I talked about this in our Lady Bird episode, so go back and listen to that. There's a comfort in the church because of its history, because of its mass. It's so familiar. The mass is the same across the world. Every day you're hearing the same thing in Mexico that you're hearing in Italy, that you're hearing in Ohio. Like, it's the same.
And people like that. They like.
It's comforting to them.
Yeah, it's consistency.
Yeah.
My sister at the church they were just most recently at, They were very close with their pastor. He's a good dude. He married them, my sister and my brother-in-law. But she was like, yeah, I don't really know what time I'll be out of church. And I was like, well, isn't it like an hour? Because mass is, it is down to an hour. And she was like, well, our pastor likes to ramble. And so sometimes, and there's not really an order to things. It's just whatever he feels like doing. And I was like, I could not.
To me, that's familiar to me, because I grew up in a church that was similar. He loved to talk, tell stories. But like, I think we're getting out of church. Oh, no.
I guess we'll make it to dinner.
Yeah.
No, mass is so scheduled and so, I mean, there's variation. Sometimes the homily or the sermon, he talks for longer. Sometimes he doesn't have a lot to say that week. And so sometimes you're out 15 minutes early. Sometimes you're out 10 minutes late. But you're going to be there for about an hour. And
that's very interesting to me.
Yeah. I was like, I could not deal with the, what are we starting with today? Are we going to start with the sermon? Or are we going to start with the readings? I don't know. No.
I did like the ending scene. I like that they ended on that. I think there was probably a lot of options on like where they could end the movie, but I think ending it there was sufficient enough. I don't think it really had to go on past that. I think that was a nice like wrap up to the movie.
Yeah, because we had to fight so hard to get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to see, like, the response to it and how important the work they were doing was. And that's really it.
Because, again, there's finally a forum in which to talk about it. There was confirmation that, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's definitely important for people to hear.
That family that had 7 boys go through that?
No.
It's heartbreaking, but as awful as it is, this is just the statistics are a little bit easier to read when you know that like 45% are sexually active, but with adult women, 53% are sexual with adult. No, I'm sorry. 53% were sexually active with adult women, 21% with adult men. 14% with minor boys and 12% with minor girls. So the majority is with adult consenting men and women. But a big percentage is still with minors.
The ones with the minors, burn them all.
Yeah.
Burn them all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Burn them.
No, don't be sorry. That's fair.
And there's open sources now, like obviously, it was shielded from me what was going on in our church. I didn't realize that the father who suddenly was gone for that reason. And I believe he was just transferred to another church.
And the systemic issue is that, like, it's interesting how you can, like, draw parallels to other things. Because, like, bad eggs, bad cops just get transferred to different precincts or, like, you can't be a cop in Florida, so you can be a cop in Georgia or whatever. So, yeah. Like, it's still a systemic problem. Like, they move them parishes every couple of years. Like,
that's terrible. I believe it, but it's...
Yeah, weird. It's the same shit.
There's nothing to... I don't think rehabilitate is the right word, but there's no step in between.
Because they think, well, it doesn't matter if I get caught, because I'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know.
Because there's no accountability there.
No. And to them, and also, like, when they don't even think it's wrong, because it's when Rachel McAdams goes to that older guy, and he's like, well, I didn't get any pleasure out of it. I just did it because that's what you're supposed to do.
Which is, again, nuts. Adding another layer of problems onto the problem.
God. He just kind of said it, like, nonchalantly, like, oh, yeah, I did that. But everybody did. I didn't get any pleasure out of it. That's just how it works. That, when I first saw that, I was like, oh my God, like it, my brain, like, huh. Oof. Yeah, nuts.
Yeah.
I really wish that, like, I don't know. Investigative reporting sounds so, like, so interesting to
me. They make it look very interesting on TV.
They make it look very interesting. I wonder how it goes about on a day-to-day basis. Because, like, you see a cut of, like, over the course of a couple of months, yeah, them getting all this information together.
It's work.
But the day-to-day work that, like, even them having to go through all the files and all the books and everything like that, it's a lot of, like... It's a lot of work.
Yeah. I think that's the only kind of reporting I would want to do, though. Like, I don't want to write no fucking fluff piece about the opening of a park. It's open. Can come play. No, give me the heavy shit. I want to investigate. Which is kind of what I'm excited about what I'm doing now, is there's a lot of investigating.
If any one of us was going to start, like, a true crime podcast, it would be Anna.
Well, 100%. Come on.
I mean, I was listening to a true crime podcast earlier today.
I'm not surprised.
Shout out Crime Junkies.
Hey, Crime Junkies. How you doing? Listen to us if you don't already.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, any last notes you got going on in here?
I really didn't write a lot of notes.
That's okay. Or any other last thoughts, I guess? That you can think of right now?
No, for rankings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's I'm ready rankings. For that. That's fine.
Yeah. Who wants to go first?
You, Joy.
Okay. This is an interesting list now that I look at it.
You have a little bitty paper.
Because I wanted to see it as I was writing them down. Shut up.
You're
I can
so
read.
Funny. I didn't think.
No, well, never mind.
I'll be quiet.
Okay. On the bottom. Bridge of Spies. Next, The Big Short. After that, The Martian. Then Brooklyn. I don't know why I'm saying them like this. Sorry. And then number four is Room. Number three is Spotlight. Number two is The Revenant, and number one is Mad Max.
Okay.
So. Anybody got close to that?
Mine's similar, but it's got some differences.
Okay, go.
Number eight, I have The Big Short. Number seven, Bridge of Spies. I have number six for Brooklyn. Five for The Martian. Four for Spotlight. Three for Room. Two for Mad Max. And one for The Revenant.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Interesting.
Oh, we got some differences there. I like that. I like that.
All right.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Go
all right.
For it.
Coming in number eight for me is Bridge of Spies. Number seven is The Big Short. Number six is Brooklyn. Number five is Spotlight. Number four is Room. Three is The Martian. Two is The Revenant. And one is Mad Max.
Oh, okay. So we did mix it up this time, guys. Okay.
It was an interesting category for sure.
Our three, four, and five were all a little different.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, I like that. So we had talked about this before. So we think that Best Picture should be a straight 10. This whole eight nominees, nine nominees is very annoying. So we decided to add two more to this to make a complete 10. So I'll go with mine, I guess. First.
Yes.
So the ones I would add, I don't know where I would put them within the fold. That's just too much. But I'll just add the ones I wanted to add to the Best Picture list would be Straight Outta Compton and Sicario.
Interesting.
Interesting pick.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I there's well, we'll get into it. Go ahead.
Joy, what are your picks?
Yeah, I would like with a straight 10, I would add Straight Outta Compton. Because I think that movie kind of blew my mind. And then also Carol. So I think that definitely should have been there.
I procrastinated doing this because it's what I'm good at.
We love you for it.
Thank you. And then I got busy, so I've only got one to add.
That's okay.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to add two, but I've only got one that I've seen.
Okay.
I'm going to say Straight Out of Compton because Oscar's so white and we needed some spice up in there. And it seems to have been well loved. And then the one I've seen and the one I think should be there is Ex Machina.
Yeah, I love that
movie. I love me a Donald Gleason. I love me an Oscar Isaacs. I love me an Oscar Isaac dancing. I love me an Alicia Vikander.
Woo!
I love robots.
It made my short list. Yes, didn't make my final two, but it made my short list. It's great. It's really great. It's sad it wasn't in here more.
Right.
Because there was some really great stuff in there. But yeah. One day when you watch Straight Outta Compton, we'll be ready for you.
Which, I mean, never mind. I'm sure it's a great movie. It's just a world in which I know very little of.
That's okay.
It will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I'd really be interested to hear your take.
I'd be like, I didn't know any of these guys. I really don't know what it's about at all. Is it a true story or is it? Is it a true story?
Yeah. It's actually a true story. Sorry. It's actually made by the people who experienced it.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a hand in telling the story, Straight Outta Compton. Yeah, it's pretty, for the most part, I'd say it's fairly accurate.
I didn't add Carol to my list only because it's so similar to Brooklyn in my eyes. But if it's my personal top 10.
Which we'll do in a bit.
I'm sorry, I had to get the food from the Uber Eats guy. He didn't know where we were, so I had to go outside. And anyways, my bad. That's who was calling, and I kept ignoring it. And it was like, your food will be canceled if you don't. I'm like, oh no, hold on. Anyways.
So yeah, those are our extra two.
Yeah.
That's 2016, guys.
Yeah, we did it again.
Wow.
Two down, a million to go.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I will say though, listeners, please go listen to Lady Bird Podcast. That's probably my favorite episode we've ever recorded to this day. So please go do that.
Other than Crypto Minds.
Oh my god, how could I forget?
Oh my god, you guys.
The literal best episode ever.
Do you remember that? What a fun day.
What a time in history.
That was, I can't even form words. Like, it's just so remarkable and it's so amazing.
It blew my mind so much, I can't even remember it.
I'm fanning myself because I cannot handle how crazy and hot it was. It was just.
Oh, there was a lot of
galaxy brain going on all over the place.
My third eye was open.
The psychic in me jumped out. Okay, so that's a wrap on 2016. We have a little bonus episode for you coming. Listen for that. And then we'll be back with 2015 Oscars.
Yeah.
Yay.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Thank you to our one or two listeners. You're the reason we can say we have listeners.
Thank you to no one because no one sponsors us, so whatever.
Yeah, we're gonna need some sponsors like Sonic or like
Wingstop. We called Wingstop. Them out one time, yeah.
We did. Sonic, yeah. Sonic would be nice.
Again, we don't have a Patreon, but just give us money if you know us. So
quick pay.
My Cash App's on my Twitter bio, so just do that.
Venmo. I also have Cash App.
I got Google PayPal. Pay. I got Google Pay.
Apple Pay.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.